Okay. God says we're like sheep. What an interesting thought. I'm actually personally not particularly flattered that we're like sheep. But Jesus said, you're my sheep. And all the way through the Old Testament, God spoke to his people as sheep. Why am I not flattered? Well, I'd rather be a gazelle who can run fast or a lion who can fight. But sheep are vulnerable. They can't protect themselves. And they're accident prone. And they easily stray. We used to live, when we first moved down to plant the church, there were sheep in the field below the house we rented. And honestly, the capers that they used to get into, they were always trying to get out. One of them I found had climbed a bank and was stuck in a hedge. Literally stuck in a hedge. And the farmer would come round and rescue. So there's one thing I know about sheep, even though they're cute, woolly little things, and we can all say, ah, when they're lambs, one thing I know about sheep is that they need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, sheep cannot live, cannot function, and actually everything will go terribly wrong without a shepherd. And Jesus said that he was the good shepherd of his sheep. The good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, scripture says, and I know them and they follow me. I know them and they follow. Say follow. Follow is something that we don't think of necessarily when we're first saved. When we're first saved, we just love it that we're going to heaven. You know, that we've got peace with God. But then we realize the Lord keeps us turning around so that we keep taking the steps where he leads us. And so following Jesus is actually the call on everyone who is saved. Jesus says, come to me, follow me. And we follow him by hearing his voice, the spirit within us. God has put his spirit within us. And he gives us a conscience. I don't know if you know that when you know you're not doing right, you know it. Because your conscience will tell you this isn't good and this isn't right. And the Holy Spirit within will bring a witness when something is right, when something is good. You'll know on the inside. But also you will hear his voice through his word. He speaks his word. His word really is his voice to us. It's the main way of hearing his voice, which is why we need to know the Bible, read the Bible, because we can hear the voice of the shepherd when we do. I love a story that I read once about a shepherdess in Oregon, actually, in the United States. And a lady who wanted to write a book decided to go and find out what it meant to be a shepherd and what it meant to be sheep. Because she didn't know very much. So she went out to Oregon and she followed the shepherd up particularly nasty terrain and eventually got to the field where the sheep were. And she whispered to quite quietly to the lady who was trying to investigate about shepherding and sheep. She said, watch this. If I call, as soon as I call them, they're going to come running. As soon as I call them, they're going to come running. Don't you love that? And she said, sheep! sheep, sheep. And they all stopped eating that really nice green grass, lifted their heads, about turned, and ran. The reason they ran is because they trusted her. The reason they ran is because they knew that she was good and would feed them. The reason they would follow that voice is because they knew it was good for them. And that the shepherd loved them. But let me tell you something. That shepherdess would not have died for her flock of sheep. I have never read a story apart from the Bible about the Son of God dying for his sheep anywhere else. How ridiculous to think that a shepherd would die for the sheep. For you. That's how much he was bothered to lay down his life for our sin. That's how much he loved us. And so, far more importantly, we need to understand that this shepherd gave his whole life. He sacrificed himself in every way possible. He paid a price for you. He hung on the cross for you. He bled and was physically suffering for you. He took the curse for you. He even gave up his life for you, so that the curse of sin and death and Satan would be totally broken off your life if you believe and follow Jesus. That's how much this shepherd values you. And really, in response, all we can do is say, I value you. Whatever is going on in your life, let me tell you, because of Jesus, you're loved. And he's already shown it through the work of his cross. You will never doubt his love when you know that he died for you. That is the sign of his love for you. You will never, ever doubt it. No matter what goes on in your life, you'll say, God loves me because he gave his son for me. Now, there is something about me and you that doesn't want to follow. Like the sheep who go astray. And it's called my flesh, or my self-life. And I know very well about myself, and so do you. Because if the Spirit lives in you, you are uncomfortable when you're living for yourself and living to please your flesh. You're very uncomfortable about it until you go so far that your conscience is seared. And I trust nobody's there today. But there's still a way back for you today. I know my flesh is independent. I know that it sometimes resists the will of God. I like the will of God when it'll do me good. But when my flesh says, I'm finding this a bit, well, it's costing me. This is going to cost me to follow Jesus. And I don't like it. My flesh does not like cost. Does yours? We're having a family meeting this morning. Does your flesh like cost? If you're honest and you're not one of the super spiritual people, you'll say, don't like it. When I actually have to pay a price to follow, I know he's good. And I know, like that shepherdess, I want to come running because I know he's good. But my flesh doesn't always like the will of God. Anybody in the room can say, I can identify that. My flesh doesn't always like the will of God for me. It's independent. It's actually happy to ignore the voice and carry on munching. Because what I'm munching is what I want. And if that sheep goes on munching, you know what that sheep does? Ignores the voice and falls off a cliff. Goes its own way, goes astray. But that's my flesh. My flesh insists on its own way. I want my way, and that's that. And nobody can tell me what to do. I mean, we wouldn't put God in that sentence because we say, oh no, I love Jesus. But can he tell you what to do? Can he tell me what to do? Or do I just want him to lead me into blessing? But when he leads me into a little bit of sacrifice, I don't know. I don't know. No. No. But he's a good father. And I once heard a story about a father and son. This one little boy was different from all the others. Strong. I was like that when I was a child. Self-willed. Independent. Whenever Dad said, let me help you, he said, no, I can do it myself. Whenever their parents gave them instruction, they said, I don't want to do it. A bit like my flesh. I want to go my own way. So the father decided, I'm going to teach this little boy a lesson. He had to go shopping, so he took his son with him shopping, got the trolley out, going down the aisles, and said to his son, now, while I do the shopping, stay close to me. Don't run off. He probably offered a reward at the end, which I think always works with children, which is God knows us, doesn't he? Yeah. Stay around, there'll be one or two blessings involved. And so like a good father, he said, stick around. He probably said, I'll give you something at the end, probably a bag of fruit and nut, because sugar's bad for you. Because he loves the child. And he's training him in the way he should go. So he starts to shop, and this little boy starts out quite well. And then when Dad turns to pull something off the shelf, he's gone. He's run off in his own way. And his dad went to find him, but decided he was going to teach him a lesson. And the lesson was this. It's an interesting lesson, because I remember my mum, if I ran off, my lesson was my behind. I got the behind move. That was the move that would move me. But this dad, he hid from his boy. And he decided to watch him from a distance and wait to see how long it would take that little boy to find out, I've lost my dad. Panic. I like being independent, but right now I've got to a point where I can't cope. Have you been there? And so he's watching this little boy, his son, and he sees him happy, having a nice time. People going, oh, what a cutie. He's not so cute, he's run off. But oh, isn't he lovely? And this little boy suddenly realizes, where's Dad? I thought he was there. And he starts to run around the shop. Where's Dad? Where's he gone? Can't find him. All the while, the dad is in view but hiding. He can see him. And just before the biggest scream hits the shop, the dad goes, "I'm here. I'm here, son." "Daddy, where did you go?" And the dad said, "I didn't go. It was you that went. But now you're back, I want to teach you a lesson. You need to listen to what I say, because if you listen, everything will go well for you." Now that's a good father who teaches their son to obey because it's good for them. And Jesus is far better than any earthly father, and he loves us even more. But in Luke chapter 9, we're going to read here. It's on the slide. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to them all, "Oh, that must mean me. Does it mean you?" "Oh, no. This applies to me, this one. This isn't about God's going to prosper me. God's going to do this. He'll do all of that. He'll bless you. This is about something different." And Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." You mean I can't have what I want, Lord? I can't be a Christian and have what I want, Lord? Well, it doesn't mean you won't be going to heaven, but you won't have fullness of life. You won't have the move of the Spirit doing what you want. You'll get into trouble like the sheep who go astray. But Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How many times? Because I can remember a time, can you, in your history, where you gave up something from God and you trumpeted everywhere you go. "Look what I did. I did this." And then God says, "Yeah, but what about today? How are you denying yourself today?" "Oh, I thought what I did in history was enough to get me walking with Jesus." Because we can't walk with him unless we're following his voice and denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily and following him. "For whoever desires to save his life," that means do what you want with your life, basically, "will lose it. But whoever," this is the good news, "loses his life," in other words, denies yourself, takes up your cross daily. I didn't say this, Jesus did. "For my sake, for him, not to be some weird kind of stuck on a mountain in a monk's dress, whipping yourself. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whatever he asks you to give up. Whatever he says, don't feed your flesh on. Deny yourself. Take up your cross." Jesus has already taken up his for us. I'm sure he's worth taking up our cross for. Your cross for. My cross for. I'm sure he's worth it. Is he worth it? Is he worth it to you? Is he worth it to you? Take up your cross and follow. For what profit is it to a man that he gains the whole world? What does that mean in your world? Does it mean you're gaining your career, you're gaining money, you're gaining influence, you're gaining leisure, you're gaining pleasure, you're gaining what you want? So what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and himself is lost or destroyed? Because that path leads to destruction. Jesus said, narrow is the way that lead to life. The way of Jesus is a way of sacrifice. And no one can follow Jesus without sacrifice. Now I know, in my flesh, I read that and go, oh, this is just too much. Have you ever said to the Lord, this is way too much? This is quite tough what you're asking me to do. But the Lord says, if you do, you'll live in the fullness of life. You'll experience my grace and power. You will be blessed in the path that God wants to lead you on. My big question to myself and to all of us today, when I was studying and preparing, and I believe it's for all of us, can you and I get too much of a good thing? Can you and I get too much of a good thing? Because sometimes I think, we just think, well, I'm not kind of sinning. I'm not committing murder. I'm not in adultery. I'm not having sex outside marriage. I'm not taking drugs. I don't overdrink. I'm sure I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm here. Can we get too much fun? Can we have too much social? Fun is good. Without it, you dry up like a prune. You need social. God says you're born again into a family. You're to live out your life within the context of His community. We have our own family life. It's good. But when the family life runs you and God doesn't, self-denial has to come in. Or we will end up on the wrong road. This is a good word. It's a word that will make you glad if you listen. Rest time. It's good. God has ordained work 7, one day, Sabbath, which is for worship, and for rest. Isn't it interesting? He said work 6, but not the 7th. Why? Because that's for God, and it's for restoration, a refreshing, where you breathe God in. This morning you're breathing God in. You're not to work 7 days a week. It's not right. Nor are you to lie in bed on the 7th day. The 7th day is for the Lord and for biblical rest. So you can get too much rest. Can you go away too much? Holidays are good. Sometimes I think I really need to go away. Other times I think, there's my flesh. See, the flesh makes you restless. And you think by going away you can be rested a lot. But it's not true. Because in the path that Jesus has chosen you to walk on is the path where you will be full of strength. What about food? Can you get too much of it? Oh, you all like that one. What about fitness? Can you get too much of fitness? Body image. Oh, look at me. I'm so strong. Don't look at me because I'm not. But you can go for self-image. What you wear, how you shop. You're just to look good is good, for heaven's sake. It's good to wear nice things, but you can spend too much. You can buy too many things. Gadgets could be your thing. They're not mine, but they could be yours. Music could be your thing. You can get too much Facebook, although, no comment. But it depends what's on there. Either sin, or if it's righteous Facebook, use it for the Lord. But you can have too much. And if people just, You know, I really want to pray, meet with God. They stay in bed. They don't get up until they're ready to go to work. They're on their phone every 15 minutes. They're not really doing their work. They get home. They're back on. Media, 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 media. You can get too much. Can you not? And all these things are good for a righteous person. But you can overdo it, and they can take over. Your conscience will be telling you, the Holy Spirit within you will be telling you, you're having too much of that. You're having too much time out. You're having too much whatever you want. Your conscience will be telling you, but your flesh will be going, nope. Now, personal testimony. Recently, you see, for me, the thing that I like most of all is food. I really love nice food. I love Lebanese. I love Italians. No, Italian. I love, you got it. I love curries. I love anything with spice. I'm getting to love salads. But the Lord spoke to me, and it's been going on for some time, and I wasn't listening. My conscience was telling me I was having too much of what I wanted. But you see, I make excuses. I don't know. Yes, your flesh does too. Because all flesh is the same. And you can't please God with your flesh. Only with your heart, your spirit, and the life of the spirit. And God working in your will. Doing his will. And I was hearing God, but doing nothing about it. And that hearing God was going on for a while. And this isn't good. And I knew it wasn't good. But you know, the reason I gave myself was, well, I've been working hard. I should enjoy food at least. I'm a Christian. I can't do what the world does. And so I can enjoy food. Everything God made is good. It's all in the garden. Let's eat it. You can get too much of a good thing. Anyway, recently the Lord said to me, enough excuses. Time to rein it in. Enough excuses. Time to rein it in. And you know, we convince ourselves we need what we're doing to feed the flesh. You know, you can convince yourself. Everybody's in the same meeting. You will do what you want to do, and you'll do it when you want to do it. I mean, some people convince themselves they've got to take 5 jobs, work all hours. They're running after money, really. Not running after God. Their heart has departed from the Lord, because actually, work without balance is another God. It's having an idol before God. Putting something else before him. And it can get out of control. It can go too far. Now, God doesn't want me to stop eating. Because he's a good father. But his voice has shepherded me to make some changes. And now, I did say to the Lord, do I really have to use this word? Because they're all going to see whether I made the changes or not. And they're going to say, well, but the good news is I've already lost. I've already lost some weight. And actually, coffee was another thing. I absolutely adore coffee, and I'm a coffee snob. I love really nice coffee. And so, I haven't had a coffee for a week. By the grace of God, I haven't had a coffee for a week. Because these things can get to a point where they take over. And when you're in the takeover point, you're actually on the wrong road. and you're going the wrong way. You're that sheep, that little boy, independent, doing just what you want when you feel like it. And your flesh, you're going to be with it for the rest of your life, and you're always going to have to deny it and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It could be a bad thing. It could be anger. Anger ruins relationships. Your relationship with God and people. Getting into a rage and a temper just because you don't get your own way. Moods are another thing. They're a sin just as much as anger. If you're moody, if you're carrying offense with somebody that you live with or somebody in the church or somebody you work with, or when are you going to give it up? Your flesh wants to keep offended because it justifies that you were right and they were wrong. But Jesus said, forgive. As I have forgiven you, forgive. What about grumbling and complaining? Are you a moaner? Or are you someone who's always positive, coming out with the best thing? Are you someone who speaks against the people of God? Speak against someone in your connect group. Speak against the leadership. And God says it's time for us to change and give up those things, because those things cannot fulfill the promise of God for you. Galatians, I'll just read what Scripture says those things can do. And God loves us and he wants to correct us this morning. Is that okay? Oh, what a good word before we have a party next weekend. Galatians chapter, we are having one next weekend, by the way. But this is preparation. And this is actually for an outpouring of the Spirit. Because if we don't deny ourselves, we will not see. Personally, God will pour out his Spirit. But we won't be part of it. Because we won't be experiencing the Holy Spirit. You know what I hate most of all is a critical spirit. It tears down churches. It's just wicked. It's a wicked thing to be to use your tongue to pull down what God has blessed. And Galatians chapter 6 says, do not be deceived, because you can be. Yeah. You can actually think you're right. You're fine with God. Everything's going good, like me. You know, I'm fine. But God says, it's time to make changes. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he reaps. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, what will we do? Reap of the Spirit everlasting life. So we will reap when we do what Jesus is saying for us to do. Move with our conscience when we know something's wrong, we make a change. Move with our choices so that God himself can begin to lead us in truth. So don't be deceived, because whatever you sow, you will reap. I've noticed my flesh, the more I feed it, the more it wants. It's like one of those crocodiles. Keeps snapping up everything in there. It eats it up, and there's nothing left. It just takes me. But it's time to rein it in, church. Exercise one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is self-control. Yeah. Help me, Holy Spirit. Give me that release of self-control so I don't do what you say not to do. But I do what you're saying to do. Yeah. Not just not, but it's the positive. Do the positive. Yeah. So we reap more of what we sow. And God will be speaking to you something different to me. We're not all the same in this room. He's a good father. He knows what you need. We're not all coming under the same kind of, you need to walk in obedience to this. We come under the same word this morning from God, but it will be individual in the outworking in your life. And I know you're here because you want to follow Jesus, I hope. I hope you're not just ticking a box this morning, because God sees that tick. And it means you've strayed from the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. Your heart has departed from the Lord if this is a box ticking day. I need to go to church. Rather than that shepherdess. Sheep, sheep. It's the shepherd. That's how we should be. It's the shepherd. And actually I know, having made some changes, I'm doing this. It's the shepherd. I know I'm pleasing God in this particular area of my life. Isaiah 30. There is just this instruction from the life of Israel or the history of Israel. And Isaiah 30 verse 1 and 2. God is speaking. And I mean, I love it that he says they're children. He says, woe to the rebellious children. I don't like the word woe. Do you like the word woe? Woe. Do you know what that means? It's not going to go good. Rebels. See, the flesh rebels. Jesus said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Yield to my spirit. Yield to my will. But God says, you're still my kids, but you're rebels. You take counsel, but not of me. You devise plans, but not of my spirit. You're not listening to the shepherd. You're just getting on, doing what you want to do. That they may add sin to sin, because Jesus said, in the greatest, I believe, in the Old Testament, the revelation of the cross, Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So just going your own way to God is a sin. Not doing the wrong thing, just wandering off, doing your own thing to God. That had to be paid for, and Jesus died for us so that we could be drawn back to God and come back to Jesus and walk with God. Basically, the Israelites were going down to Egypt and trusting in other things other than God. And their heart had departed, these people, from God. They were still saying, I believe in God. They were still saying, I will call upon the name of the Lord. They were probably still in worship, but they'd gone to some other plan, and God says, I'm not part of this plan. It wasn't me. You didn't even ask me. You didn't even ask me. And like a father with a son, he wants his kids back. He wants his kids back, but he wants them back out of what they're in and back to his heart, back to his very presence, so that they can come under his protection and under his provision. Everything good comes as we follow him. Verse 15, we're going to look at this. This is what happened in the same chapter, the Israelites. God then refused to, they refused to listen to God. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you will be saved. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I love those words. Don't you love that? God's saying, if you would return, come out of what you're in, your own way, and come back to peace and trust. I'll save you. Where you're going, you won't be saved. It's going to end. You know, the road you're on leads to a destination. The road you are on leads you to a destination. And the Israelites were on a road that was leading them into trouble and actually destruction. And in the end, God says you're going to end up exhausted, without money, and without help. Without money, worn out, and without help. And he says, come on, guys, it's time to make some changes. It's time to deny yourself. The heart of God is calling out across this room this morning. It's time to listen. That the Christian life isn't always about what you can get. But it's about a following that at times will mean, I can't do that because I do this. I won't do that. I've set some, from the moment I got saved, and I've had to be changed, and I, as obviously I'm being changed. Praise God. He doesn't leave us, does he? But from the moment I started following Jesus, I had to continually make changes. I had to obey him when I didn't want to obey him. I wouldn't be in my walk with God today if I hadn't walked yesterday. The good thing is you can have a new day today and start and have a new beginning. But all I can say is it's his way or no way. It's his way or no way, because there is no way you'll be blessed on another road. It's only in his way. And your flesh might scream. Your family might call on you when God calls on you. Who's going to get the call? Who's going to get the response? Jesus himself, his family came and gathered round. He got his disciples then. They came to the door. And they said, your mother and your brothers are outside. And he said, these are my mother and brothers, those who hear the word and do it. In other words, this is my family. God's family are those who hear the word and... Come on, let's all say do. Just do what Jesus says to do. I notice people, you know. I'm a shepherd in this flock. And I notice people who don't come. I notice people who start patterns of not coming. The pattern starts to creep in. I notice people all the time. I count, not for the wrong reasons, but for the right. I know who's here when it's a prayer meeting. I know. I don't not know. I'm a shepherd. I'm your shepherd, actually, under God. We are shepherds. And we know, and we pray for you. And we send out connect group leaders, and we send out opportunities to you to disciple you, to speak into your life, to rescue you from the wrong way, to actually shape you and equip you and train you. Who will listen to his voice? Who will take on board what Jesus says? Because if you do, you'll experience the fullness of the life of the Spirit. And you won't grieve him with your life. The good news is God warns us when we're overdoing stuff, when we're making the wrong choices. When we're in relationships we shouldn't be in. When you start down the road of looking at another woman and you're married, he warns us. And he says no. He warns us when we get apathetic in our prayer life. He warns us when we stop meeting together. He warns us because he loves us. Like the father in the shop with his boy. He was never gonna desert him. But he had to wait until that boy cried out. And the father then went, right, lesson. And hopefully it's a lesson learned. Have you ever had a lesson on repeat from God? Lesson on repeat, keeps going round and round and round. Oh, I'm on repeat. All right, I'm on the same lesson. The best thing is to learn the lesson from the beginning. It's harder when you're right down the road to make the change. But God's grace is there even for that. Let's just read this. But God speaking in returning and rest, these beautiful, wonderful promises. This is what I'm going to do for you if you turn. But you would not, and you said, no. For a long time, my flesh was saying, I like food. No. You said, I won't. You're shaking your fist, your hairbrush. Whatever you're doing, you're having a hissy. You're getting fed up with the Christians around you saying you should be in it. You're like, no, no, shut up. You know, in the making of disciples, you have to be made by other disciples. Let me leave it there. You'll never be made just on your own with God. Did you hear me? Oh, it's a good word this morning. Shaping you for an outpouring of the Spirit. Shaping you for the outpouring of the Spirit. Changing the things that need changing so that we won't go astray in our own way and say no to God. But the good news is verse 18. In the same chapter, God says this, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. I love it that he waits. He doesn't run after us, pamper us in our own way. Say, there, carry on. It's okay, I'll still be with you. He just hangs like the father behind the screen looking at the son, saying, I'm just going to wait to be gracious to you, to actually show you my favor. He's not going to wait. I'm going to give you a good hiding when you get home. I'll be gracious to you. Therefore, the Lord will be exalted that he may have mercy. What's mercy for? To forgive you going your own way. You need mercy if you've gone your own way. I needed to say sorry. I've been doing what I want with my body. I'm sorry. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to God. He purchased all of me for God, including my body. He will wait that he may have grace, mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. But then it says, blessed are all those who wait for him. In other words, you don't have to go off on your own. You can always run when the shepherd calls. You can be one of those that goes, I love Jesus, I'm just doing it. I'm going to go trotting back. The shepherd has just spoken, I'm here. Thank you, Lord. What have you got for me? Because you're good. You got something for me to do? Fine, no problem, Lord. After what you did for me, I'll do anything. I'll do anything after what you did for me. You died for me, so fine. No worries. Yes. No worries. It's okay. Can you see the reality of following Jesus? Is we must deny ourselves to be able to follow him. There was a guy called Jonah. Have you ever read about Jonah? In fact, a lot of the world know the story about Jonah. I've nearly finished, so don't go to sleep. That would be your flesh. Seriously. It would be your flesh. Because we're listening to the word of God this morning. We honor the word above all things. Yeah. Preaching of his word. Yeah. Jonah was an interesting character. Jonah was stubborn. And God said go. And Jonah said, no. God said, go. Jonah said, no. And he went his own way. He was the sheep that went astray. So God provided a whale. Now let me tell you, the trouble Jonah got into was a trouble, listen clearly, of his own making. God's plan wasn't that he had to go through this. Because he's got a good plan. But Jonah was in trouble of his own making. You know, you can overspend on your credit card, get into debt, and it can be trouble of your own making. You can have a health crisis. Because it's trouble of your own making. You can have a relationship with God crisis because you're not putting him in the right place in your life. And that's a disaster. But Jonah, he's in the whale, swishing around with all the stinking, rotting fish. It's murky. It's humid. I can imagine how hot it would be in there. Can you? The temperature of a male is quite warm. And he's swilling around in there, just able to breathe. Coming up for air. And he starts to think, why am I in this mess? Did God put me there? If I'm honest, it wasn't God, it was me. At least Jonah was honest. And he cried out to the Lord from the belly of the whale. So he was in trouble. In stink, swishing around, and he cried out to God. And he said, God, help! In other words, I think what God read into that help was, I'm happy to do whatever you want me to do right now. Yeah. Hello? Have you ever noticed your trouble can actually lead you to God? Yeah. I'm happy to obey now, Lord, as long as you get me out of this belly. Yeah. And he actually said in the scriptures, if you read them, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So in other words, Jonah was clinging to his own will. He just wanted what he wanted. And I want it my way, and I want everything to serve my way. And he knew in the moment of trouble that actually he got himself into this mess, but only God could get him out. That if he cried out to the Lord would, he was waiting for him, you see. And God was saying, I've been waiting to be gracious to you. I've been waiting for this moment. I've been waiting for you to give me a call from the belly. And as soon, you see, my flesh, your flesh is like Jonah. Yeah. Yeah. And the Lord waits for us to repent, to return to him. Yeah. And say, Lord, I'm so sorry, but do get me out. Yes. Please get me out, because you're good. And I thank you that when I come and say sorry, I'm forgiven. Yeah. And now you're going to give generously to all who ask. Yes, yes, yes. Isn't he amazing? In that moment where we've been wrong, he says, I'll give you my mercy, but I'll also bring you out. Yes, yes. But he doesn't bring him out just of trouble. He brings him into something. It's not just coming out of trouble God wants. He wants to bring us into his will. So the whale went, wah! Can you imagine the mouth of that whale going, wah! Got to get rid of this guy. I can't digest this one. Out he comes onto the shore. And God says, go. And you know, there was the greatest outpouring in a city of salvation. There was the greatest outpouring in a city. Your denying your flesh means there will be an outpouring in our town, in our region, and people will come to Christ. It's not just about you being out of trouble, it's about you following Jesus. Serving, seek first the kingdom of God. And guess what? All things will be added. If you seek what I want and do what I want, Jesus says, I'll add everything you need. But if you seek what you want, you'll end up without money, exhausted, and without help. Get your heart back with God. Turn your heart back to Jesus in truth. Don't just say, I'm in a great church. Great time of worship this morning, but what is God saying to me this morning? Jonah will found grace, and God has been waiting for you. Whatever he's been saying to you, your conscience will have been telling you. The Holy Spirit within you will have been telling you what changes you need to make. And you will find, if the Lord is your shepherd, truth, truly, not in theory, you will not lack, and goodness and mercy will follow all the day. All the days. Say all the days. So if I follow all the days, goodness and mercy will follow me. All the days. What a promise. What a Father. What a Savior. He's perfect. And he says it's not time to get away with what you want. It's time to deny yourself. Take up your cross and be part of a move of God that will change the world. Little things, big things, whatever it is, be part of the move of God. Don't sit there and say, I went to church. Say, I turned to Jesus. I made some changes and his grace helped me to alter my lifestyle. I started to take different decisions with my life. Because in truth, I'm walking with Jesus. What a shepherd. Say, flesh, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. It's a good confession. Whether it will happen or not is up to your will, your choices, but it's a good confession. I will not follow what I want to do with my life, my time, my body. Just all of it. Jesus says, if you'll do this, the grace that you will have and experience and the grace that many will experience through your life is going to be powerful. It's going to be amazing. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Well, what a house cleaning word. God is cleaning up his church. God is cleansing his temple. Because he wants his glory back in our lives. Amen. Big things, little things. Now, I've got three questions. If you answer them as if God was asking you these questions. What is it in your life that you need to rein in or give up? What has he asked you to do that you aren't doing? And are you in trouble of your own making? If you are, there's a way out. But first of all, need to return, repent, come back to Jesus, make some changes and say, Lord, I come to you today. And I want to say, I'm sorry I didn't listen to your spirit within telling me, but I want to make some changes. Could be money, it could be business, It could be anything that can take over. Just take some time just to pray through those things.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.